final session of our study on analyzing the scriptures. I think to recap what we did for the past 2 days, I'm going to briefly run through some of the key points. Right? Like what we said before, analyzing the scriptures is not merely an academic exercise, right? Because our study of the scriptures is very different from the study of any other books or any disciplines or in the university. Okay, so because this basically involves God and also concerned with our salvation, right? Now, so we find that the first thing that we need to do in studying the Bible or analyzing the scriptures, we cannot omit the fact that God must be present. There's the guidance of the Spirit must be there to help us to understand the scriptures, as we have seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right, from verse 10 onward, all the way to verse 12. Right? So you find that with the presence of the Spirit, then we are given this spiritual capacity to understand the things of God. Right? So I think when we talk about relying on the Spirit, I think the desire, the yielding within must be very real and strong. Right? We truly want God to help in understanding His Word. I think in the process, we eliminate the self. So the I is taken away, then we allow the Spirit to take full control in the study of the Word. Right? So I think to all the full-time workers, all the workers of God, we understand this very well. When we study the Bible, it's like a denial of self. Right? We need to remove the self so that the Spirit can take full control. Right? Meaning that, in whatever things that we read, we talk about, right? We trust in God, we believe that this is from God. So when the self is removed, then pride obviously is also removed. Okay. Now the second thing is, I think we talk about being very diligent in our study of the scriptures, right? Must be very careful in our reading. We must read the Bible as many times as we possibly can, right? And we need to develop an approach which suits ourselves very well in studying the Bible. Right? All these are the key points. Right? Now, I think yesterday we touched on the patterns of the sound word, and also the traditions of the church. The tradition of the church. Now we find that seen in the scriptures, as far as Paul is concerned, he was like a first generation believers, and Timothy is the second generation, because he received a direct revelation from God, right? So whatever Timothy was told to remember, actually Paul was saying that by listening to what he has said to Timothy, then Timothy would gain understanding from God. And so, the truth that Timothy received is well within the scope that Paul has given to him. And this pattern has been passed down. Right? So I believe that this must be also the practice in the true Jesus Church. Right? No one could have discovered this pattern of salvation if God has not given to the church understanding. No one. No matter how clever you are, right? You can scrutinize the scriptures inside out. You can spend, 7-8 hours a day to study the Bible. You would not have known the pattern if God has not given you wisdom, or if God has not given understanding to the church. Right? This is where the church is different from all the other Christian denominations. Right. Okay. I'm going to look at 2 Timothy again. Turn to 2 Timothy. We look at chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here, verse 13, Paul says, hold fast the patterns of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now, where does this pattern of sound words come from? According to Paul, it's from him. Yeah, so he was saying to Timothy, look, you need to hold fast what you have listened, what you have learned. Right, the pattern. Okay. Now, here it says, in faith and in love, it's like, you know, this pattern of sound word is given to you. Or, for this pattern of sound words to be effective in your life, you need to, what? Have faith in it, and you must have this love for God. What does it mean? You must first believe in what you have received, only then you can put it into practice, and that is love. Right? So when we put the pattern of words into practice, that's the love that we have for God. Right? Now you may question basic belief. You know, how does that relate to love? How does that relate to love? Now if you preach the correct gospel, right, the patterns according to what the church has received, that is love, because you bring salvation to others. You know, on the contrary, if you preach a twisted pattern, then you are not showing love. Right? You are not bringing salvation to the listeners. In fact, if we are not careful, we can even what? Lead them away from the truth. Okay? Now, on our part, we are the receivers, or we are the recipients of the Word of God. Right? Now, how should we go about holding on to this pattern of sound words? Now, verse 14 to me is crucially important. Right? Now, I'm going to read verse 14. That good things which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. You know, I've been reading this again and again and again and again. I came to understand that, you know, without counting on the Holy Spirit, I don't think any one of us here can hold on to this pattern of the sound words. Not possible. So it goes to show that the challenges can be so severe that without the intervention of the Spirit to help us hold on to the pattern of the sound word, you find all of us will be swept away. Right? You will lose our salvation eventually. You know, forget about knowing the scriptures or analyzing the scriptures. Okay? Now, so this is the basis. Right? Now, we also said that for one to be able to know the Bible, analyze the Bible accurately, requires him to cultivate himself spiritually. He must be in search for better spirituality at all times. Okay, meaning he has this urge and desire to be like Christ. Right? You find that then God will give you more and more, that these people will be given more and more understanding. So when you read the scriptures, it becomes so much easier to understand. Right? It's like given to you. Oh, this part of scriptures is talking about this, and that part of scriptures is talking about, this point here and there. And so analysis becomes very easy because your heart is right before God. Right? Okay. Now, so it's so important, as we have mentioned, to keep on. To hold fast the patterns of sound words, okay, which the Lord has given to the church. Okay, yesterday I also touched on the tradition of the church. I want to read. Read a verse. 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians. Now we read chapter 3, right? Verse 6, right? Now, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. Now, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. So you find that the older generation, or the first generation of workers, right, were commissioned to pass down this tradition. Right? Now, obviously, tradition can refer to teachings or rules or whatever, right, that have been deemed essential by the apostle, the workers of the church, for the believers to uphold. Okay? Traditions. Now, what I'm going to do now is to show you an example. Okay? This is one example that I can think of. Even you find that this tradition has its roots in the scriptures. Right? Now, we know that, I think those who were born into the church, we have been told that what? Like the doctrine, the important teaching of the scriptures must have the foundation, must be built upon the foundation of the what? Of Jesus, the prophet, and the apostles. Yeah, the apostle. Is that true? Okay? No. So, it's like there are three parts to this one complete whole. Okay? Three parts to this one complete whole. You have Jesus, you have the apostle, and you have the Old Testament prophets. Now, I'll give you an example. You know, when I was younger, in the church, we have been told that the church of, the end-time true church, emerged from the East. Okay, that's the tradition of the church. I don't think many people can accept this now. Right? Don't think many of us can accept this. Now, I think if you have that understanding in mind, when you read certain passages of the scriptures, it makes a lot of sense. So your analysis of the scriptures will be different. Okay? I'll give you an example. We turn to Ezekiel. Chapter 43. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 43. Now we read verse 2.
Okay.
Verse 2. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Okay? Now, when I first started reading this myself and trying to understand it, I could not make sense of it. Right? I said to myself, how did the early workers take this to mean that the church would emerge from the east? I can't see the connection. Right? Now, the point is, if you hold on to what have been taught, remember what Paul said, you need to think, isn't it? You need to ponder. Right? Meaning, not only you ponder in your free time, you ponder over it in your prayers, then understanding will begin. You are not pondering something very different. You're not thinking about things which are not taught in the church. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? In fact, you find that this has been taught in the church since I came to know about the church from very young, when I started listening to sermon. It's been taught in the church. Okay? Now, and so I believe in this. Right? I believe in this. The church, the true church of God, must come from the east. Now, you may question me, can you find any proof first from the Old Testament scriptures? Right? From the Old Testament scriptures. Can you find any proof from the teaching of Christ, says in the Gospel? And can you find any proof in the epistles written by the apostles? Right? Now, thankfully, actually, there are proofs all over. Right? You can actually see this in the Old Testament scriptures. Yeah. Now, just to give you one example, right? I want to read Psalms We turn to Psalms, yeah? 107. Psalms 107. Okay, we look at verse 1 to verse 7, yeah, and to verse 9. Now you find that, yeah, if you don't look at this passage in the light of the patterns of sound that the church has received, I don't think you can have a, you can understand. You won't get a clue of what this thing is talking about. Right? Or perhaps you will interpret it in a very different light altogether. Right? Now, first, the first question we ask, right? Does the passage here, or is the passage here talking about the church? Or is the passage here talking about the relationship between God and humanity? The first question you ask, alright? Now, if you look at verse 2, here it says, "Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now, the passage begins by talking about the redemption of God. Right? Now, you find that redemption is closely connected to the work of the church. Right? The work that God, you know, made use of the church to perform. Okay? Now, so, if you look at, for example, verse 4, "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." How can you find a group of people who do not have a city to dwell in, wandering about in the desert? Remember yesterday we talked about desert place represent what? A place where the Spirit of God is not there, isn't it? Only when the Spirit of God comes, then the transformation is brought about. Okay? So, with this in mind, then you read verse 3, okay? Here it talks about where, you know, the people that God would gather them from, right? How God would redeem them, from where would God redeem them? Verse 3 says, "And gather out of the hands from the east, from the west." Right? "And from the north, and from the south." The direction is given. So quite clearly here, because we have these patterns of the sound word in mind, then instantly, we know that this is talking about the church, the work of the church. You get what I'm saying? So if you don't have that pattern, then you would interpret it very differently. Right? Now, so that's why even when we talk about analyzing the scriptures, we must have a clear pattern of what the church has given to us. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? Now, here we see the apostle. The prophet. Now let's look at what Jesus said, yeah? Okay, we turn to Matthew. Right? Matthew chapter 24. Now verse 27, yeah? And again, yeah, this is a verse which has been talked about, yeah, by the early workers. I said, blessed the first and second generation workers. They always talk about this. Right? Now, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Okay? Now, you know, in the Bible, when lightning is mentioned, it means that God is at work. It's also like Revelation, you see lightning, thundering, stuff like that, meaning God is about to work. Right? So, when the Bible says that the lightning flashes from the east to the west, yeah, and as far as the early work is concerned, they said this is the church. They just, you know, came from the east. So I question myself, how on earth did they get that? You understand what I'm saying? How did they connect this to, you know, to the emergence of the church? Okay. Now, when I read on, yeah, now if you look at the entire chapter, Matthew chapter 24, then I begin to understand, actually, here Jesus is telling us about, you know, deception. Now, if you look at verse 26, yeah? "Therefore, if they said to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,'" saying that Jesus is in the desert, "do not go out." Don't believe them. "Look, he is in the inner rooms." Do not believe it. Okay? There's two parts like this. Let's say, yeah,
graphically, this is the church, okay? Some people say, no, Jesus is outside in the desert, somewhere here. Right? Don't believe. And some people say, oh, there's an inner room here. Jesus is here. Don't believe. And then, the answer given is in verse 27. The English is very clear. For, meaning because. Yeah? Now, how do you know where Jesus is? Where is Jesus? Jesus is in the church that come from the east to the west. It's the church that we are now. Right? That's why if you have the pattern, then your understanding will be shaped and formed in such a way that it conforms to the patterns of the work. You get what I'm saying? Right? You will not deviate. Obviously, I'm not saying that each time when you go on to preach, you should talk about oh, the church from the east. No. This is for internal strengthening. Very important. Otherwise, this precious teaching of the church will be lost. You find that youngsters growing up in the church without knowing this, that is a setback. That will be definitely a setback in the church. You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now we have the confirmation from Jesus. Now let's look at the apostle. You didn't talk about it? We turn to Revelation. Chapter 7. Now we need to understand that Revelation was written by John. Obviously he was inspired by God, yeah, to see the vision. And then when he saw the vision, he wrote it down. It's like from John himself. Okay, I want you to read verse 2, chapter 7. Okay, John chapter 7, verse 2. Okay, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Ascending from the east, from the place of the east. Now, with this seal of the living God, this seal of the living God referring to what? The Holy Spirit. Now, the angel, they are in the book of Revelation, there are three categories. The first one is with wings, the angelic beings can fly with an arrow. Shoot, I'm joking. You know that kind of thing, right? Or the angel can refer to Jesus Christ, the mighty angel, right? And the third one refers to workers in the church, like chapter 2, chapter 3, which tells us about angels of the church, meaning the leaders of the church. So the church here is like, you know, the angel here, like given this seal of the living God, the church is given the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. So you have what? You have the prophet, you have Jesus, you have the apostle, which talks about coming from the east, right? And you find that this is the tradition of the church. Tradition of the church, yeah? Right? And actually it's based upon what? And this tradition is not something that we pluck from the air. It's actually based on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. Is that so? Right? And so when you form your mindset in this way, then you will not go. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay. I'll give you another example. You know, I think many people don't believe that the name True Jesus Church is very important. Do you believe that the name True Jesus Church is important?
Yes.
Any proof?
In the Bible.
In the Bible. Preacher Chin told you. You preach in Africa. Where is it? 19. Okay. Now, the point I'm making is this, right? We said TJC is obviously the initial way of explaining the name is True represent God, then Jesus is the mediator, the church is the group of is the congregation of people who can call out by Jesus, and for this congregation to go to the true God, they must go through the mediator, right? Now actually you find that this idea, before I talk about the prophet Jesus and the apostles, Now, I want you to look at one verse, right? Now, Jesus said, I am the what? I am the one to go to the Father.
I'm the truth and the way.
Truth and the life.
Okay. Jesus said he is the way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He's the way to go to the
Father,
yeah? Okay. Now, I want you to read Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Please read verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, okay, Jesus is the way. Okay, is the way. Now, after you have entered into Jesus, right, then you need the Spirit. Okay? Meaning, after your conversion, after you have been baptized into Christ, you are in Christ, yeah? Without the Spirit, you cannot go to the Father. You find that once your understanding of the Scriptures is based on the patterns, everything falls neatly in line. You find that they do not contradict each other. You get what I'm saying? Right? So, you find that, you know, analysis becomes so much easier. You get what I'm saying now? Right? You cannot go wrong, because that's the pattern given by God to the church. Right? Now, coming back to the name, yeah? Now, did the prophet talks about a new name to be given to Zion? Remember we talked about Zion? Zion? Zion is the church, isn't it? Okay. Now, we read Isaiah. Yes. We read 62. Okay, now, this one to, in fact, the entire chapter is talking about Zion, okay? Through Zion, salvation is obtained, or is given, and through Zion, salvation is secured. Now, if you look at verse 2, here it says, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. Okay? Now, a new name shall be given to Zion. Okay? Now, if you look at verse 3 here, it says, you shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and the royal diadem. Now, you know, in Revelation, there are two passages that talk about the white horse. One is in 6, the other one is in 19. And this one is victory. So you find that Zion shall be given crown of victory. Right? And this one is what? Kingly crown. So it's like a diadem. Right? There are two type of crowns given. So it fits very well into the context of the church. You understand what I'm saying now? So a new name shall be given. The name is not revealed, but the idea of giving a new name is mentioned. Right? No one knows about it. So it's from the prophet. Is that okay? Okay, now let's look at Revelation. Jesus, yeah? Here are the words spoken by Jesus, because Jesus himself is talking about the name. Right? Chapter 3. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. We read verse 12, yeah? Okay. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Okay, now, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem. Is it not the church? Church, remember we talked about Jerusalem? It's the church, am I right? Yeah? And which come down out of heaven from my God. Is it not the church? Yes, it is. Now, who was doing the talking? The Son of Man. Jesus. Talking about again, the name is to be given what? To the city. Right? At that point in time, it's not revealed. Now, when you come to chapter 19, John talks about the name. So can you see? The prophet, Jesus and the apostle talk about the name. So the name is crucially important to us. You understand what I'm saying? Right now, here we know that this is the tradition of the church, yeah? And Jesus must talk about it, the prophet must talk about it, and then what? The apostle must talk about it. Right? But this is something very precious. We cannot go wrong by following this. Is it okay? So, that's why when you read the Bible, it makes a lot of sense. Because the Bible is written for us. And us means the church. Is that not true? Is that not true? Right? Okay. I need to go through the assignment with you. Okay. Now, we turn to Second Corinthians. Now we go through the assignment views, chapter 4. Only Matthew has handed in his assignment. I'm not sure what about the rest. They enjoy their snack, their food. But what Matthew has done is too brief.
So, this is my guess.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, Rocky gave me some hint. I saw he also handed in, but.
No, he didn't. Have you done your assignment already? Because this is my last lesson, that's what I need to go through. Have you done your assignment already?
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm asking, answer my question. Have you done the assignments already? How many of you have done?
I have dropped.
You would do?
I have dropped.
You have done?
He has dropped.
What do you do with disobedient children? You make them stand a lot.
Honestly, I don't think anyone has started with the lesson plan. Right? But we always have a deadline during our lesson. On a certain day, you must hand it in. Yeah.
Well, what if they don't?
If they don't, then they will come.
I thought it was yesterday.
If they don't, we have a disciplinarian.
Okay, disciplinary master is Preacher TK.
He's going to torture us.
No, if I go through with you, then it defeats the purpose of me giving you a sign. Okay, I'll talk about it tomorrow, so you hand it in by tonight. Is it okay? You got my email address? Just send it to me. It's easier. Please send to my Hotmail account. Don't crowd my Gmail.
Can I
just
ff26@hotmail.com.
Okay, I want to share a verse with you, okay? I want to read Acts of the Apostle. I think this is a very familiar verse with all of you, I guess. Okay? Chapter 17.
Let me read verse 11. Chapter 17, verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Now, okay, you can see two kind of mindset. I think there are two essential components in a healthy mindset as far as studying the scriptures is concerned. Right, first, there must be this readiness to receive the word of God. Right? Now, you know, I've been thinking about this. You know, sometimes readiness is not there. You know, when, for example, when you listen to a sermon, I think because probably, you know, there are many factors that caused you to lose this readiness to receive. You know, it could be the people around you, it could be the environment that you are in, you know, or it could be that things that happen to you in your daily life, yeah, that caused you to lose this readiness to receive the word of God, right? And you find that this is not a healthy sign, right? Each time when you come to the church, you feel so reluctant to receive the word of God, then you are in danger of what? Losing sight of your faith, and your relationship with God can even be, you know, strained in a way. Or in the most severe case, you find that your relationship with God can be severed, can be cut off as a result. Because you keep rejecting, right? You are not ready to accept. You are not ready to accept. You know, there's an incident in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, when Jesus went back to Nazareth to preach, right? And they all knew that what Jesus said was good. Very authoritative. And in their mind, they question themselves, how could this son of a carpenter, you know, speak this kind of thing, you know, do this kind of miraculous work? You understand what I'm saying? As a result, they rejected the preaching of Christ. And Jesus actually says that their heart has become hardened. Right? Now, that's why I think it is very important for us to understand, regardless of what situation we may be in, this readiness to receive the word of God must be preserved. Right? Must always be in the heart. Otherwise, I tell you, coming to the church is a burden, or serving God is a burden, doing RE work is a burden, because the readiness is not there. Sometimes we see members, they're so willing to do church work. Why? Because they have this eagerness to receive the word of God. That's the main source of power. Right? And without this motivation, you find that all the works that they are doing or they are about to do will be affected negatively. Right? So this readiness, this is the first component or element. Now the second element is, you know, you cannot accept everything just like that. Oh, because FF said this, therefore it must be right, no problem, you finish. If I give you poison, you die. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, he is my best friend, FF, so whatever he says surely is correct, no problem. Why? Because he always take me out for dinner. So I believe in him 100%. We're finished. Rocky, you understand?
Yeah, don't give us poison, would you?
I don't give you poison purposefully. Okay? You never know. Sometimes my teachings may not be accurate. No, that's why in verse 11, you say what? You search these people search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. You know, like the example I told you, yeah? You know, the church came from the east. We were taught this when we were very young. But we have to what? Work on it to make sense of this belief that we have received from God. Seriously, if you don't do that, I tell you, it's very difficult. How am I going to tell people about a church, especially like full-time workers? How are we going to say to them? Difficult. How can we preach with conviction that TJC is the only true church? You can't. Because in your heart there is doubt. It becomes very difficult. Right? So there are two major components here. One, the first one is you need to have this readiness. Always be ready to receive the word of God. Right? Second, you cannot receive just like that. No problem. Just take in good and bad, everything, and you finish. I tell you, you die without knowing why you are dead. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So, two very important components. So you need to, I'm not saying that you need to be very judgmental, okay? Every time when a preacher, you know, stand up on the pulpit and preach, find fault with his sermon. No, I'm not saying that, okay? But you must be sharp enough. You must be spiritually astute to discern, right? So when a trace of poison is being mixed with the message, straight away you know. Why? Because you have this readiness to learn the word of God. Right? I think with this, when you analyze the scriptures, yeah, it become very handy, very easy. Right? So this is a piece of advice that I would like to share with you. So I think, you know, you need to search, confirm for yourself that what is preached is correct. What is preached? I believe that all the preachers are open to questioning. Right? All of us are open to questioning. I have to be honest, that sometimes even some of the facts that I talk about might not be accurate. Sometimes I need to go back and look at it again. Right? Because people start questioning. Right? So as to be a teacher, sometimes people question your lecture. Like us, people question us. So do not be afraid to admit that, oh sorry, you know, with this regard I have made a mistake. So in this way you find that you've actually given yourself a chance to know the Bible better. It's no point to keep insisting on something that no one actually agrees with you. Right. If that's the case, it's like you are building up walls, right? You know, in a worst case scenario, enmity between you and the listeners. Right. Okay, any question so far? Any question? I think we have about 5 minutes for the question time.
What about in Bible study? Sometimes people say, like, I think, I believe, and you know, they're just saying what they think, but may not be backing what they're saying. I think, I believe.
You know, like if the Bible study is a sharing session, like talk about your faith, stuff like that. Okay, you don't need everything to be backed up by the scriptures. Okay, but if you are talking about Bible study, like you're doing the chapters or concept or a biblical truth, then you need backup from the scriptures. Right. Any supplement? Anything you want to add on? You know this kind of stuff, you know, like because we are fortunate, like people like us were born into the church. So since young we have been listening to, you know, all these teachings. But now I realize that the only thing that we need to do is to confirm for ourselves, you know, what they have preached is correct. But you know, my mind is this, my mindset is this. Even at time I may not be able to understand fully why a message, especially the message from the first generation workers, the early workers, I keep it to myself. You know, like the lightning flashes from the east to the west. It's so hard to understand. But thank God, finally, it seems that, you know, that some sort of understanding has been given. That's why when we read, you know, the verse we talked about earlier on in 2 Timothy, keep this with the Spirit that dwells in you. Meaning, you need to count on the Spirit, even though you don't understand. Now, you know, we are not the giver of the words, right? We are the recipient. Now, obviously, you know, the recipients, you know, and the giver, there is a gap, right, between them, right? Now, to understand what has been given, sometimes require us to trust in the Spirit even more than before. That is how you keep it. So if you don't trust then you try to what? You try to allow your the self within you to dominate. It's finished. It's very difficult to allow the Spirit to work. Right? Okay. No more question?
I want to ask when someone when we're doing a Bible study, and how can we just yes, if someone just raises out that there's a spiritual skinny fence of this passage, how can we verify or some? How can we just tell why he said that is true? It's what the Bible means in this paragraph. Because apparently we cannot understand the spiritual meaning just by reading the word. But how can we just like okay? For example, somehow I used to talk with a brother, and he said when Jonathan gave the armor to David, it simplifies the full armor of Christ that we have to fight to the devil or something. And so I don't know how can he come up with this, and how can we accept or reject this, or if we can know is actually the spiritual significance of a certain paragraph or not.
You know, that's why I believe in this. I'm not answering your question right now. Mm-hmm. I believe in this. The church has the duty to, you know, basically equip the members with the best knowledge of the church, of the Bible.
Yes.
You know, before they can really do Bible studies, to be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the duty of the church. You know, I've been thinking about this. You know, guidelines should be given. You know, that's why all the workers in the world should come together, you know, to talk about, you know, a way forward to help the church, you know, in terms of studying the Bible. How should we go about studying the Bible? Guidelines should be given. But anyway, this is not done. So, but I think the principle you should adopt is that, first, as long as this the teaching mentioned or raised or the point raised is not against the Bible, yeah, then I don't think we should argue too much about it. You understand what I'm saying? And obviously, if the person is willing to listen, then you can tell him about the context. You know, the context of the chapter is where what we call exegesis. We talk about the context. He said this context is not talking about this. Remember yesterday we talked about a parable. We try to find the purpose of the parables that Jesus talked about. Alright, so I think if he insists, then there's nothing we can do. But the important thing in a Bible study, try not to get involved in heated up argument. Otherwise, it loses the, you know, the essence of gathering together to study the Word of God. Yeah. You know, to be honest, studying the Bible is a very humbling experience. You really have to put the self away before, you know what I'm saying? Before you can truly appreciate what the Bible teaches, or before you can truly understand what others are talking about. Otherwise, it's very difficult. It's a humbling experience. Okay. Yes. Yes, go ahead.
If in a Bible study, someone brings up a point that's doctrinally a bit off, how do you address it? You address it right then and there, or and how without, you know, hurting into it?
Um, You know, it depends on the personality of the person. If you know the person well, then perhaps after the Bible study, then you can talk to him like what, you know, this Aquila and Priscilla did to Apollos. You know, because his teaching on baptism is not perfect in the sense that because he did not know about baptism in the name of Jesus. It was only after the whole thing that they took him aside and talked about it. Right? Sometimes I think this requires wisdom as well. That, again, I say it depends on the personality of the person. Or if you know that this problem persists, you know, for a period of time, then I think you need to make it known to the pastors or whoever. You know? Okay. I think we end here. Okay. Let's say a silent prayer.